Hello everyone, and welcome to Open Observability Talks. Here at Open Observability Talks, we talk about anything DevOps, open source, and observability. I'm Dotan Horvitz, and we are streaming live, very exciting episode, straight from the KubeCon live floor, KubeCon Europe in Amsterdam. And I have with me Taylor Dolezal.
Howdy, howdy. Great to see you.
Glad to have you. Taylor is the head of ecosystem for the CNCF. By the way, for those joining us on the live stream on YouTube or Twitch, do feel free to write your comments and questions on the live chat. We'd be happy to get your questions and comments to make things a bit more interesting for the both of us. And I want to thank our sponsors, Logs.io. Logs.io provides a cloud-native observability platform that's based on popular open source tools such as Prometheus, OpenSearch, Jaeger, OpenTelemetry, and others. So CNCF is near and dear to our hearts. And with that, let's go on to this very, very special episode where we're going to share a bit about the hot updates from here, from KubeCon, and also get some insider insights from Taylor himself. So Taylor, maybe tell us a bit about Taylor, by the way, yesterday was the keynote speaker on stage at KubeCon, and had a very cool presentation. And the nice thing, standing in front of 10,000 people, that's a record-breaking KubeCon, right? Tell us a bit about this record-breaking thing, sold out.
And personal achievement. I couldn't, we were talking earlier, I couldn't get that many people to come up to my birthday party, so like maybe next year. But no, it was fascinating. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. It's working on the puns and everything like that. Just, you know, it's like that's, I learned also with my OKRs, NPS score, the P doesn't stand for pun, it's promoter. So I have to rework some things, but yeah, it was wonderful. Lots of fun to see everybody.
Yeah, and again, over 10,000, right? That's the final number in person here in Amsterdam, not counting the virtual attendees on the platform. So that's amazing. And what are we expecting for the next KubeCon then?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, like 20K. Who knows?
Yeah, the next one in Chicago, right? And I think Chris Anacek said that on stage that this is by now the largest tech conference in Europe, in all of Europe.
Looking at Paris, coming to Shanghai, so really, really exciting things coming up on that front.
Yeah, and another very important notice that that they notified yesterday on the keynote is next year in Europe we're going to be in Paris. In Paris, France, right? That's
like
exciting.
Gonna be fun, yeah.
You want to share with the audience a bit what we're expecting, what the announcement is?
Yeah, so actually, I've never been, honestly. So really? So I'm excited to go for the first time, and it'll be nice. It'll fit a couple more people, so that'll be nice to have, too, some certainty on that front as far as capacity goes. But another beautiful city to check out.
Yeah, that's for sure. So I think one of the things I love about your work is the work with the end users. And you do that all year round, and there are the major CTO summits, they're the gathering of the relevant people. So, and actually after, we're broadcasting now Thursday midday and afternoon, there's going to be the CTO summit of KubeCon Europe. So what's your expectation from this summit around?
So this summit, I'm really excited. We're diving into FinOps topics and concepts. So really just how to build that culture within your organization. And that's I'm sure that we all agree, like saving money, that's good. Yeah, it's like we definitely want to do that and have a cloud spend that's responsible and worthwhile, that's consistent. And I think that's really the biggest takeaway from that. Some interesting conversations that I've heard before, obviously we're right before the CTO summit, but I've had some conversations with folks about what are some blueprints or like what's the best way to build this kind of application or build this workflow. And so I'm curious to see if we're going to get into some of those kinds of topics of discussion. But that's going to be really interesting. And then figuring out tools or methods in which that we can actually start to measure that as well. Because again, you know, less money, that's a good thing, but there's more to it than that. And there's ways to show that off to the development teams. Even figuring out how to properly abstract that isn't always easy. And providing that to developers, that a lot of people don't even know what things cost. Yeah. And so just how do you quantify that and share that? If you give developers CPU and memory, it becomes almost a competition to be able to like, oh, I could drive that down. Like startup, it hits like 3 gigs. Whoa, what's happening? And then you can kind of drive that down a bit.
I look at it as observability, another pillar of observability. And actually, I held a dedicated episode here on the podcast, on the show, to FinOps and observability. We talked about OpenCost, obviously, a new project under the CNCF that aims to tackle this one. And we talked about the relationship with the FinOps Foundation. And I know that you've actually invited the FinOps Foundation to the CTO Summit to bring the meeting of the minds between the foundation, which is, I think, an amazing collaboration. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah. So in the past CTO summits that we had, it was all great topics and things to really reflect on, working with everybody. But the thing that we saw, and that happens in most organizations as we bike shed and as we do, the conversation kind of got away from us. It's like going to a beautiful natural wonder, and then you just kind of like go off on all these different types of topics of conversation. And so we invited the FinOps Foundation, not only because they're going to be able to sum things up better and give us data directly from surveys they've done and conversations they've had and bring that kind of aspect to our discussion, but also because they're going to help keep the conversation focused, and then that'll create a better report after the fact as well. They'll just be able to kind of tie things together. We won't go on as many tangential journeys.
And also follow-up. We need someone. It's not a one-off. It's something that should kick off an ongoing action items and plans and things. So, and they're tasked with that. So that's the perfect body to do.
Exactly.
And I think actually my point of view is that the collaboration of the foundation is something that we should adopt further as we mature with the CNCF. And luckily enough, many of these are under the Linux Foundation umbrella. So it's there's sort of a common house to bring the all the great minds together. But FinOps Foundation and OpenCost is a great example, because on one capacity, it's a CNCF project, as we mentioned, but on the and another capacity, it's a certified solution under the FinOps Foundation. So it's sort of it has legs in both foundations. It can assist to bridge. And there are other examples, for example, between the CD Foundation, the Continuous Delivery Foundation, and the CNCF on aspects, for example, something that I'm very passionate about around the CI/CD observability. In order to monitor your CI/CD pipelines, you need to understand what the heck is going on there. And you have point solutions for Jenkins or for Argo or others, but there's no standardization, no common language, no semantic conventions around that. And I've been trying to push also as even proposed an extension, proposed an OTEP to OpenTelemetry to actually embrace CI/CD as yet another important use case for OpenTelemetry. And looking at the sister foundation, the CDF, I told them the CDF already created some standardization with the CD events. So we have something to base on. We have a representation, a formalized representation of CD events. We can adopt that and make sure that OpenTelemetry can support it in the semantic convention, can ingest that, and can provide observability on top of that. So these sorts of collaboration points, I think, can be force multipliers in many respects.
I agree. I think that being able to have venues like KubeCon and co-located events, and it's really important, because we can kind of lose sight of what's around us day to day. And that's kind of what happened with the CTO summits as well. It's like, these are good conversations. These are great. But when you have the opportunity to go with work with some of the world's best, financial operations folks or you know, people focused on cost management and building that culture, they're a phone call away. Also, they're across the hall,
exactly.
Like in the Linux Foundation. So that was great to see. Same thing with CNCF projects and other related foundational aspects as well. Like it's why not, And it's only when you break away from the work that you can be like, oh yeah, that's right. Prometheus can talk to Kubernetes, can talk to OpenTelemetry, can talk to all these other folks. So it's nice to be able to have that hallway tracker, these spaces in which we can actually reflect on best practices and work with one another on that respect.
Exactly. And I'm curious, from your discussions with the end users, what are the main pains, challenges that come up in discussions with the end users when they try their maybe first steps, if it's a new ones, or maybe advanced users trying to expand or scale out their usage with the CNCF's ecosystem and the project?
Biggest challenges right now are less adoption or understanding things from an engineering standpoint. Like, I'm so happy that we've kind of won that open source debate. It's like, that's mostly, it's like, everybody's all into that. So you don't have to pitch people on that vision so much anymore, which is wonderful. I think right now it's seeing folks having adopted Kubernetes and then What do we do next? How do we implement the rest of our stack? What do we use for observability? What do we use for all these things? And what data is available to help us understand, are we making the right choice? When we talked about cloud native maturity back in Detroit in that CTO summit,
For listeners, essentially each CTO summit has its own theme. So Detroit was about the future of cloud native. Before that, it was in Europe, in Valencia, it was about resilience. Mm-hmm. So each one has its own like theme, but obviously the talks branch out to whatever is for our audience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you for the clarification. It was last time we talked about cloud native maturity and the biggest revelation was that no one had solved it. Yeah, right? It was just like, okay, we've adopted these projects and kind of they're working in prod, but how do we tell when it's done? How can we tell when to take it out of the oven? Or when do we swap it out? What does that look like? And I think that's been just a fascinating thing to dig into. And it felt good to know that no one's like, oh yeah, we've had this the right way for like 5 years. Where is everybody? And it's like, no, we don't really know. Here's some things we can use to measure that.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, I provided the same feedback also internally. We had the 2 days ago with the first day yesterday. Sorry, I lost track of the time.
Days. No worries. Yeah.
2 days ago, Tuesday, the meeting for the OpenTelemetry project, and I told them we still have logging. OpenTelemetry logs marked as experimental, and people wanted that for production will not touch it. Mm-hmm. And in the internal discussions here around the table, we talk about how mature it is and how the protocol is ready and the OTLP and instrumentation SDKs for many languages already stable enough and so on and so forth. But people outside don't know that. As long as we don't communicate very clearly and give the guidance when it's ready to go to production and what are the guarantees that come with it along with it, like dependency isolation, like long-term support, what exactly it is. So 3 years from now, we'll do no breaking changes to APIs, or will be a certain process for making breaking changes or things like that. Especially large organizations will be concerned. So this is something that we need to learn to communicate much clearer to enable our end users to know and to choose the right thing. This is one, and another that I keep on, you probably hear that a lot as much as I do, is looking at the landscape and getting very confused about, okay, so especially with the newcomers, what shall I choose? I want to go cloud native, I use Kubernetes, I want to go cloud native for observability, for storage, for security, whatnot. And then they open up the landscape and they get confused.
Like, oh my gosh,
now, it's not a problem with the landscape itself. I know that we've put a lot of emphasis on making some search engines and focusing. That's on the utilization side. But still, we showed yesterday on the keynote 159 different projects and growing, as they say. Mm-hmm. And it could be mind-boggling for end users. So what do you hear from end users and how do you advise them to go about that?
So when it comes to picking those projects and just like that, that is absolutely a challenge too. That's something that they're constantly looking for. And then even keeping a map, a taxonomy of what people are using is something I'm looking at kind of building out. So that, because if there's something available for Argo or Kubernetes, Kubernetes is a little bit easier, but being able to ping the right folks and understand what's going on that front, I think is really important as well. We can either just kind of like blast out to everybody and hope for the best, but that doesn't typically work. So when it comes to people selecting the right things, one thing that has helped in the past is our end user radar. We haven't updated that since I think September 2021, and I'm looking at kind of blowing the dust off
time,
that.
So
just like, I think I know the person I can talk to about that. looking at redoing that here soon, and that was kind of the intent for the survey I kicked off. Is just like, what projects are you using and getting a sense of what are those buzzwords, those trends that you're seeing? Is it, are what we have out right now still relevant? Or are there some new things that you're seeing as well? Because again, like we were talking about earlier, it's not so much to just adopt the project, it's how you're using it.
Exactly.
My phone is a great paperweight too, but it's a little bit more useful when I can call my parents and like say, hi, what's going on?
Yeah.
Far more beneficial. And then one thing that you said too that I really liked as far as challenges with end users is being able to sell that and pitch the business value of these projects too. I think as folks look to adopt it, that really is something that's new that's starting to enter into the conversation is how can I actually let my VP, our SVP, our directors and CTOs know what makes sense? What does this actually get us from a business standpoint? Do we get more time back? Can we focus on some other business concerns? Is this something that is our core competency or should be? And like maybe we go a different route and choose a different project based on that?
Yeah. It makes sense, and I'm really happy that you're looking into updating the tech radar. Canelo, even last night that we went out a few of the end users for a drink after the conference, and one of them said, a lot of my time goes on just keeping up to speed with, yep. with what goes on in the industry and in the community and the new buzzwords and the new projects and the updates on the projects.
It's a full-time job.
And exactly. And their main core job is to create a differentiation for the company. This is just facilitating infrastructure. So how the way that we can bring it in a more in easier, more focused manner, I think would be a great thing. Another thing that I'm curious in getting the end users involved. How do you see, what kind of feedback do you get about when you talk to them about getting them more active in the project, more involved, more contributing, whether in feedback and roadmap items or even more too with code and with something more meaningful?
When it comes to it kind of activating on that front, a lot of it is trying to figure out, we see this progression take part. So there's like the open source progression ladder where they'll pull it down and adopt, you know, like try out the product and kind of like get a sense of it. Then once they get more and more competent with it, then they'll be more excited about contributing to it ultimately. Yeah. And then they'll kind of develop at that mastery or leadership within a space. It's like not many folks get to that level, and it's not required by any means, but yeah. It's nice to be able to have a mastery of something and then mentor folks and kind of bring them along that journey. And that adds to the stability of the project too, right? It doesn't help to have the same people in the same roles all the time, and then you're going to have a fall off if that happens. You have to be churning and building and growing on that front too. So it's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. But on the other hand, I feel that in some projects, we do see a very heavy weight on the vendor side. And I would like to see that balanced out with the end users, because I feel it in some of the conversations that I'm involved with, that it's vendors talking amongst themselves. And okay, you have lots of aspirations of what you have your roadmap to have and where you want to take your business, which is fine. But the end users are actually the ones that are consuming it for building out their SaaS platform for e-commerce, banking, healthcare, mm-hmm. whatnot. Mm-hmm. And we need their voice on what they actually need and what they find useful and the ways that they find useful to consume that. So the more we get the end user voice there is very exciting. For example, we have now a new working group going back to the observability space that tries to push a unified query language. And I had a very interesting discussion with one of the initiators of that, he's from Netflix, and his partner there is from eBay. So, and what the first thing I told him, that's amazing that it actually arose from two end users. There's no vendor stake involved here. And if there is going to be any unified query language across logs, metrics, traces, and other telemetry signals, it's best to come from a neutral ground, from the end users, and then harnessing and bringing on board the vendors. But the vendors, each one has its own aspirations. Some vendors even launch their own unified query language that is only specific to that vendor, which is fine, but we need to take it a step forward. And specification that would be vendor neutral is most naturally comes from the end user. So I'd really like to see more of these involved, and maybe we can get you involved in that as well to back them up and to maybe bring on board more end users that suffer from the same problem of fragmentation on the query language side of things, and bring that, by the way, now is under the tag observability roof. We'll see how it goes along, but really exciting to see that. Do you have any other highlights from this KubeCon so far that got your eye from the stats or from reports and updates that you want to share with the audience that weren't able to be here with us in Amsterdam?
Yeah, so I think that one thing that I've always kind of noticed while going around the hallway track, or basically just literally the hallways talking with people, that's the hallway track, I love the talks and how deep they get, but just being here and with everybody, I think, is just absolutely magical. You, again, get to kind of break down your regular day-to-day mental models and interactions with people. So one thing I've noticed is typically most KubeCons revolve around one singular topic, or like there's one that bubbles up and that's like, oh yeah, S-bombs or this or that. Yeah. When this time, I feel like it's been many different things. It's been, you know, you've heard utterances of large language models, AI, ChatGPT. That's been one thing that's been exploding. You've heard a lot about WASM. You've heard a lot about edge networks, data governance, data sovereignty. I haven't been able to, you know, maybe it's just kind of being on a literal ground floor and just like hearing all the buzz and everything, but maybe it'll kind of like the dust will settle later. But I feel like it's been a real, like a super, super group of lineups and topics. Yeah, so yeah. I've liked that. It's not just like the one thing, like, you know, what's the in color right now, the Pantone color of the year. It's been a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, yeah, and I also like the new format that we've come up with for the colo events.
Yes.
The restructuring, first of all, shorter week, only 4 days rather than five, because it's very, very intense. And having the colos in the first day, a Tuesday in this case. I personally attended the observability day, obviously, being my passion, and it was very successful. Like, it was a full day. I know that not all the collocated events were able to facilitate the whole day, but for observability day, it was not just a whole day. It was a whole day with a feeling of that we didn't even cover a fraction of what we wanted to. So maybe, and I talked about it with Chris and others, maybe it makes sense to even spin it off to its own day, and maybe even more than 1 day, because there's so much to cover. And also,
yeah,
I like the fact that this is, again, talking about the cross-project proliferation and discussions, being in the ground not just for formal updates. We have formal updates as part of KubeCon, but here it's actually the place for, as I envisioned it, for round tables where you can bring the different projects around the same table. So you have the Prometheus folks in the case of observability, and the OpenTelemetry, and the FluentBit, and Jaeger and whatnot, and then discussing the alignment of the roadmaps, where it overlaps or it complements, and so on and so forth, and see that there is some sort of convergence, because we are talking about 159 different projects.
So this
cross-project interaction becomes much more crucial,
right,
so that the ecosystem and the landscape in entirety makes sense. It doesn't seem like left hand and doesn't communicate with the right hand, and they're trying to achieve the same things in different means. So this is something that I was very excited to see the seeds, and maybe taking it to the next step of evolving these colo events. That's something interesting. I also wanted to mention, we talked about the CTO Summit, so maybe you want to share, because essentially at the end of each CTO Summit, you release a report, right? So for those who weren't able to attend the Chicago Summit, the end of 2022 is already out there, and they can read the cloud native maturity report, so to speak. And also after this one, they'll have a report. So do you want to say a few words to the audience about how they can follow up on the CTO Summit?
Yeah, yeah. So it's a very prestigious event, and we only have about like 30 or so seats for those. So it's don't envy the selection process at all. We favor end users on that front too. It's an end user only event. Sometimes we have governing board members join us, you know, that might be from a vendor member company, to kind of be there to help offer insight as well. But really an end user prioritized event at the current point in time. So like you had said before, it's very difficult to have your day job as well as the job of keeping up to date on everything. What we see is a lot of vendor companies that's their core competency, right? So they've got the time to dig into, oh, how do we do zero trust and this advanced VPN or this identity process? It's very easier for them because that's their business, is their day-to-day, and they just kind of converge. But for end users, they unfortunately are kind of pulled into doing two things, and that's where we're looking as a foundation to fix. It's just, right, what can we give to you to help you up level your process, make that selection easier, and provide you assets? So that's why the CTO Summit, that's why that focus, and that's why that report too. Rather than having to fly across the world, come here, get these people together, you don't have to do any of that on your own. Yeah, it's like, we'll handle that. You might have to buy a ticket, you know, if you wanted to come in person, of course. But that's like the most we'd want to ask of you on that front. But digging deeper into that report, I'm really excited to see what comes of it, and then what recommendations people are able to make, what insights, what highlights come of that as well. I think that it'll be a lot more than just like, save money, it's good, yeah, confirmed. It's like, no. How do we actually do that? How can you pitch that to your team? And how might, you know, if you're a senior level executive, how can you bring that into your organization? As an engineer, how can you advocate for that change within your company if you're kind of working with people that might not have that same mindset as well? So it's just, you're really trying to make everybody be better, kind of like in the same vein of the write a letter to my boss explaining why KubeCon's a good idea is offered on our website. You know, we want to help you and give you the resources that it takes to be successful. It's sometimes you can't do that on your own. It takes a community to really level up in a completely different way.
And how can people that are not in part of the CTO Summit can then maybe share their feedback on that and reach out to you or to the forum, maybe a Slack channel, or can you share maybe the means follow up throughout?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd say, trying to think of which email distro there is, just a couple hundred. I'd say definitely follow up at info@cncfio. We do have I do get those emails, so I'll definitely see it on that front. Just don't send any spam there. That'll definitely get deleted. On that front, it's best place to follow up is on that front. There is an apply to attend link too, so I can share that later. I'll tweet that out. For our upcoming events here in Chicago and North America. We haven't decided on a topic there yet, too. So if there are any topics that you want to see, please, please, please put that in the forum. There's kind of a why would you like to attend field within there. So a great place to describe like, oh, I want to hear more about edge computing or WASM or whatever it might be. And we'll take that into consideration.
Sounds good. And maybe you can share also where they can follow you. I know that you're active on Twitter and others, but you want to share with them where they can find you and reach out to you after the show?
Absolutely. Yeah. Please at me. Love having conversations, as you can tell. It's surprisingly a little bit more introverted in the evening, like reading a book and stuff like that, but love to have technical conversations. At OnlyDole, OnlyDole. The story behind that is that my last name is Dolezal, and people asked, how do you pronounce that? And I used to have a website, doleisallyouneed.com. And so nice. Dole is all only.
Nice. Thank you much, Taylor, for being with me.
Absolutely.
And thank you to all our viewers and listeners on the live stream and on the podcast that are listening to us. As always, all the episodes are going to be available on the podcast. You can find it on all your favorite apps, Google, Apple, Spotify, or others. Also on YouTube, on the YouTube channel. And if you are listening to it on the podcast, then do know that we broadcast live each episode. So follow us on Twitter at Open Observe, where you can hear about the next live stream. Then you can join us on YouTube or Twitch and pitch in with your on the live chat with your questions, comments, and anything else. So that's all for this month's very, very special episode live off the KubeCon show floor. I'm Dotan Horvitz, and see you at next month's episode. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.